Maarten Dammer specifically. It's a great opportunity to present our project and my institution here. I work at the National Archive of the Netherlands, which contains 100 kilometers of documents, maps and photographs. In there I specifically work for a project called Images for the Future, which is a big digitization program. I'll come to that later. So in the National Archive, I'm responsible for the access issues of the photo collections. Our collaboration project with Maarten was one of the pilots we did on this thing. So is digitization leading to sharing, leading to openness? That's a question I have. I think the first steps we are making at this moment, and I'll try to give an example of what we did. So, Images of the Future. This is the digitization program for audiovisual and photographic heritage in the Netherlands. It's a collaboration between the National Archive, the Eye Film Institute, Sound and Vision, our public broadcasting archive, and a think tank called Knowledge Land. Together, we focus on the technical issues of digitization within the objective of preserving this historical content through conservation and digitization. Two other objectives we have in the collaboration is to create and increase access by adding metadata and contextual information. And a third one is to communicate and innovate around what we are doing. The target public we have is the general public, so everyone, first place. Specific target groups are the educational sector and the creative industries. So, sharing metadata and content. Within Images of the for the Future, we have a specific budget to reach out to the public. It's specifically targeted to communicate and innovate through small projects, of which you see a few here, like Open Images, which will be talked about by Johan Omen, who's sitting here, Celluloid Remix, which was a great project of the Eye Film Institute, who shared content specifically for remixing for the educational sector. We did a project with Flickr the Commons, and now we did one with the Wikimedia people. So, on the 13th of September this year, we launched National Archive Joins Wikimedia. It was the sharing of about 1,200 images of a very specific thematic coherence. It's all about political portraits of the Dutch politicians from the 1950s until the 1980s. We put a great effort in selecting the content. We tried to find portraits from every politician, minister, prime minister, or a member of parliament. We tried to find them and put them together and shared them with Wikimedia. It's a specific approach. It's a small project. It's not a lot of content, but it's really coherent in its subject. And we are very curious about what is happening. What's the impact of this approach, of this collaborative approach? The first stats. Like in October, we had page views on lemmas with embedded pictures of our selection. It's about, I don't know if you can read it. Can you read it? No. It's about almost 500,000. That's really an amazing amount. We have decided upon doing a follow-up on NA Joins Wikimedia, which is in a separate project, which is called to address these statistics and analyze them. So we are going to do an impact analysis on what's happening on Wikimedia with the content. Are they making new lemmas around politicians? What are they doing with the images? Are they modifying them? Are they adding metadata? All kinds of that sort of things. From the 1,200 pictures, there are now half of is embedded. And the top image of our former is from one of our former prime ministers, Wim Kok. That is, this one picture is 108 times embedded. So in all different kinds of languages, his face can now be viewed. And the content of National Archive is visible within a broad space within Wikipedia. Why are we doing this? Lots of these arguments are already said today. I put them here all together from our perspective. I see the last one is should be the bold text should be a separate one. I think that's really the most important one. Enforcing or increasing your position as a relevant and trusted source in public online space. I think to keep your relevance, you have to be out there. You have to go on the web, beyond your own website, beyond your own institute. And Frank talked about different roles we are getting in this new environment, the physical environment and the digital environment. And by doing these pilots, we are engaging in this process. So my first question, is digitization leading to sharing, is leading to openness? I don't know. I think we're trying, but there are still a lot of things we could do. So I hope to hear from you ideas to go further, to take the content pilots we are doing right now one step further. What could we do next? How can we make it better and more interesting? This is my last slide. I like to introduce a colleague of mine, Johan Omen, who knows a lot more about openness on a technical level. He's one of my colleagues from Images for the Future and really one of our leading experts on the domain of digitality, content, heritage, and linking it. So please.
Good afternoon. Thank you, co-presenters, for letting me talk about the Open Images platform. Is this sorry? Ah, I'm sorry. It's Friday afternoon. I'm not. You know how it is. Okay. I'd like to talk to you about a project that the Netherlands Institute for Sound and Vision is doing. The project is called Open Images, and the idea of Open Images is to provide access to a collection of open video that can be used, on many platforms. And the sort of the driving force behind the project is if it doesn't spread, it's dead. Which actually probably would also be the summarization of Josephine's point that you have to be out there to be relevant. So, as I said, it's an open media platform, so the idea was to share a body of video and then. That is so it can be used on multiple platforms. So you can say it's culture as a service. It's there, and it's the metadata. It is available. The videos are available, etc., etc. So there are many contributors to the website. So a few are listed on this slide, and so next to Sound and Vision, Beeld en Geluid, also for instance the. Film Institute Netherlands is contributing content. So the idea was to build it open in many dimensions. So we're using an open source media platform called MMBase. We're making use of open web video codecs. We're using the HTML5 video tags, and we're using OAI, PMH, and Atom feeds in order to distribute the metadata for the records, for the content. So what was the major issue within Sound and Vision was to agree on a license for the content. You have to imagine that Sound and Vision also makes money from selling licenses to its content. So there was this discussion internally, okay, which license are we going to be using? But from the very beginning, we had the collaboration with Wikipedia as one of our prime use cases. So we opted for the CC by share alike, was like the best we could do. So not CC by, but CC by share alike is our preferred license. The idea is to have 3,000 items online within the next 2 years. Currently, we have 1,000 items online. And we're offering it in what we call internet quality, so not the high res MPEG-2 files, but lower res derivative. You have to imagine that Sound and Vision is quite a large archive. There are audiovisual archives in almost every European country. In our case, we look after 700,000 hours of material, and only a small segment of that can actually be made available under the conditions that we make content available. So it has to be digitized. It has to be the rights have to be owned by Sound and Vision. And then still we have to negotiate with our commercial arm of the institute in deciding which material we can actually make available. Do try this at home. I'll just show you some slides of the portal itself. So it's actually quite straightforward. You can do searches and then. You can see under which license material is made available, and then you can download it using in different formats. You can also embed it, and so you can look at these nice lists, etc., etc. What is important? So just wanted to show you a clip that someone made. In order to sort of promote the use of this material for creative works. Graphic. We launched it almost a year ago, now we see the content popping up, for instance, on YouTube, also, for instance, broadcasters are making use of the material on their websites. We also have collaborations with museums. This is an example of the collaboration with the Boijmans Museum. They have also a small collection of video on the website, and they wanted us to provide also content that was in our newsreel archive on Rotterdam, the city where this museum is based. Content selection actually is based on the request we get. For instance, last week, someone from Vlissingen, a town in the province of Zeeland, contacted us, and they wanted to use video on their Wikipedia page, on the Vlissingen Wikipedia page, and then we went into the archive to select content for them. Content is made available, for instance, on this within this mobile application we launched earlier this year, which actually is quite nice that we also link on this platform to Wikipedia pages. The iPhone application is about different war monuments in the Netherlands, so here we link to, for instance, the Flickr photo stream from the National Archive. videos from Open Images, and also you can see it here, also to Wikipedia pages. So we draw in all kinds of content that is linked to a monument. Okay, so I think if you haven't downloaded this document, this white paper yet, then I suggest you do it when you get close to a computer. It's a quite nice white paper on video and Wikipedia. You know what are the properties and what is the technology that needs to be in place. So all the content on Open Images is also available on Wikimedia Commons. Actually, Maarten wrote a script that this can now be partially automated. And this is the link to our OAI repository. And how this works. Every content is assigned with a license. So actually, we get attribution saying that this is a media file from Images. From Open Images initiative from Beeld en Geluid. So these you see these items popping up on different pages. So it's quite nice. There is not too much video on Wikipedia yet. So it's good that there is now there's a lot of attention on getting video on Wikipedia. What's also quite nice is that sometimes these the clips are used in ways we couldn't actually imagine. This is an example. Where somebody took a screenshot from a newsreel that we uploaded and then inserted this this screenshot in the Wikipedia lemma. So actually, this is no video, but it actually made it into a picture. It's quite funny. So we have some statistics that are quite impressive. Actually, this was in from March when we only had I think around 500 items online. And already we got 500,000 page views. So for us, this is it's huge. With 1,000 items, I think we might actually reach a lot more views than this number. So this is my last slide. So it's about getting video on Wikipedia. And Maarten, do you want to close or open?
So we did a couple of pretty nice partnerships, but what did we learn from these partnerships? Especially for Wikimedians, go and visit museums or libraries of archives, go there and meet people, speak with them, go to conferences, go to, I don't know, your local internet society probably has a drink every year. Go there and meet people in person. You can send dozens of emails, but it's much, much nicer to meet people. And when you're in a partnership, you can meet and discuss things and get stuff done by email. You don't have to do everything in person. You just set out the lines of a cooperation, like we're going to do a partnership, and the details we'll discuss it over email and see how that goes. Patience for both sides. Major institutions are slow. Before someone can do something, they have to ask their boss, and their boss has to ask their boss. And before it's up the chain and down again, you'll probably have to wait 2 months. And on the other side, we comedians do this for fun. So when I have to work or when I have to go on holiday or something like that, I won't spend time on my projects. So it's not like we don't really have deadlines. We do have them, but they shift a bit. And I don't know if you also went to the previous presentation with the BNF. I'm doing this partnership, but I also have an online community. If I'm getting too detached from that, so I'm just doing a partnership and having fun, but not thinking about the Wikipedia community, it's not going to happen. The online community, you have to keep them involved and get them involved in new projects. Like, for example, the images from National Archief. Within 1 week, most of the images uploaded then, the first batch, were added to articles. that's not me adding them. I just upload them and the and notify the local community, hey, we have lots of pictures, please add them. Get them involved. When you have a community involved, you have this massive amount of people all doing one edit, but together it's a lot of work gets done. Some other lessons learned. Get a decent legal release. You don't want to have uploaded over 1,000 files and having to remove them later. It's a bit of extra work, but if you have it, you're sure that if the people you did the partnership with leave the company or are gone in 10 years, that it's still clear that we have a release. In most of these, in all these partnerships, we use the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But attribution is always a problem. Somehow, we seem to forget that that's the most important part of the license. So if the most important part is know from the partnership how do they want to be attributed and include that and make it very clear that if people want to reuse it, they have to use that license and mention the attribution, not attribution like, this is from Wikimedia Commons. No, we want to know who was the author and what was the source. One of the things we do is deep links. So if I upload an image from the National Archives, it contains a link back to their collection. So if people want to know more or related images or just get more context in their library, you'll be able to find it. And it's possible for people to trace if the image is actually from that archive. Anyone can say that. With the current project, the integration in our library or our archive, Wikimedia Commons is just the archive from Wikimedia. So when new content gets in, it has to be integrated in the whole collection. It's not like you dump it on it and you're done. No, you have to add categories, maybe add translations, the nice location templates. You add it to Wikipedia articles, and then it becomes part of your collection. If you don't do that, the content is useless. That takes up a lot of time. We have a large community, but if you come in with like 60,000 images, you have to have a really large community to get that done. Currently, that takes up a lot of time, and would be nice if we could somehow make that easier or automate that, or I'm not sure how we can do that. All current projects are custom-made projects. For Open Beeld, for National Archief, Tropenmuseum, we had to write custom tools to get the images in a nice, clean form to Commons. I'll talk about more tomorrow. It would be nice if there would be some sort of open standards which more museums and archives should use. So they just have to say, hey, we'll release the content like Open Beeld did, and we can decide to pull it in. And that's less work for the museums because they don't have to contact us for all the technical details, and it's less work for us because we only have to implement it once and instead of for every museum again. And museums need metrics. So we have this project, and you already saw some numbers, but it's not that much. We need to have something that they can show to their boss and say, with pretty pie charts or graphs or whatever, something pretty with lots of numbers on it. Bosses seem to like that, lots of numbers. They don't have to mean anything as long as lots of numbers. And we currently don't have that. We only have sketchy statistics of what might be the number of views. Mind you, the statistics you see is all sampled 1 to 1,000. So there's a pretty big error rate when you come to the lower numbers. So that has to be improved. That's very important. And document our successes. It's important for other people, if they want to do a similar project, to see how the other project went. So they have not just only a simple overview page of what happened, but also details like from National Archief, we're doing an impact analysis. So what actually happened after the project? How did it get used? more traffic to the website, did they sell more images, that sort of thing. And content partnerships is just a start. As you can see with the Tulpen Museum, we have the digital restoration, the working together to write new articles. It's the only content is an easy way to start a partnership. It's relatively easy to give a bunch of images and data and see what happens. It's much more difficult to do other projects, but it's a good start to see, to get to know each other and to see what happens. And we need to scale. This is just three museums. I think the Netherlands has over 400 museums, I'm not sure. And we're never going to make that with the way we currently do that. And that's the lessons we learned from this project, and we'll hopefully use them for new projects, and maybe you can too. Thanks for your time, and maybe you want to ask some questions about projects or discuss the lessons learned, or any comments?